Blog Talk Radio.
What the hell was that? Why is
not
my gun...
your intro?
Where did my intro song go?
Where's your intro?
It plays automatically. Was that you? Did you hit the gun, Eli?
No.
Oh, there you can hear. You hear it? It's turned all the way down. You gotta love this. The show. Since it didn't play, I'll just like,
we never do anything, Jake. That terrible women's vagina is blah, blah, blah. You're fired, Eli. You're gay.
All right. I kind of like this version better. And welcome to the Jake Penland Show, everybody. Joined, as always, by my best friend in the entire world, Eli. Say hello.
Hello, Mr. Awesomeness.
How are you? I like that. Can you actually, you and Jen both refer to me from here to forth?
That's why he's
Mr. Awesomeness. And Jen, my Robin Quivers, as she was referred to today on Twitter, which
oh
I thought was a little bit high.
Hello, dick face.
I think you'd be more like Ronnie the limo driver. I don't think you're quite at Robin's level yet.
No, that's okay. That's because you're not at Howard's level.
Yeah, that's a good point. That hurt. That one hurt. There's the Jen I knew. Anyway, welcome to the show, blah, 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 blah. We've had quite a run here on the podcast universe, going back to AM, where me and Eli used to rock on AM. And it's been one heavy subject after heavy subject of you name it, we've done it. And I think me and Jen kind of met during the week, and we're like, you know what, we just need to just chill. We just need a show where we just chill and have people call. I don't want to get in a fight with anyone. I'm sick of being yelled at. I'm sick of arguing. So it's pretty mellow today. I'm going to give out the phone number. I encourage callers today more than ever, since we don't really have a topic to talk about or a guest. Feel free to call in and talk about anything. You know, we're gonna talk about a few news stories, but for the most part, today's just going to be like, you know, a free-for-all, like back in college when you're sitting in the dorm and you're all smoking pot and just the conversation goes to the other. So there's no pressure. Even if you call and go, I don't know what I want to talk about, you can ask me or Jen anything. The number is 323, and Eli, of course, 323-417-6705. And please call in. Eli listed you, Jen, as Milfie under your name.
Milfie?
Yeah.
I like that. No, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
No, it was
I'll
Eli.
Tell you that. What's that?
It was Eli.
Have you actually seen a picture of Jen? Because you might want to rethink that.
Well, from the neck down. So she's got a nice body, but I haven't seen her face yet.
She's pregnant.
I got a nice
photo,
body.
You
like
about
pregnant chicks.
Did you notice? What do you think? The pot belly's hot? She's pregnant.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was always a chubby chaser.
That's true. Eli. You know how I know Eli likes fat chicks? He asked my sister Jenny to the prom. Before, this is a true story. This is not a joke. Jenny was Eli's prom date, was he not? Was she not?
No, she was, yeah.
Yeah, that's a true story, Jen.
Wow.
Why are you being so quiet?
I was very attracted to your sister.
I think she's beautiful. So.
Well, this was before
the
surgery. So Jenny was like, you know, tipping the scales at like 300 pounds. So, I mean, like,
what are you trying to get out of me here?
I'm just trying to say, you know, chubby chaser is not an accurate term. He liked big women. And that was the first time I knew that Eli had problems because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, like a woman with a little bit of cushion, but to actually, like, go after women that are 300 pounds, that's a whole other sign of some sort of major dysfunction. Can we hold on once? But go ahead and talk for a second, Eli.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I like meat on my bones and fat on my bones. So for me, it was just, you know, it's just what I'm into. To each his own, you know.
Yeah, which means you have
don't
severe
judge me.
Mental
don't
disorders.
Don't judge me on my taste in women.
You would not like me without child, then. I'm pretty bony.
Yeah, she's skinny.
Yeah, well, stay pregnant as long as you can.
I will. Well, and if I nurse too, if I nurse, the milk stay. It keeps the boobs big.
All right, I'm getting cussed out here.
Yes, it does.
Eli, I'm going to need you to scream. We got a couple phone calls, so.
Okay.
Thank
so
you,
talk about brother. Something else.
Yeah, but thank you. Yeah, all right. So, Jen, while he's screening, yeah, Jenny went to prom with Eli, and I thought it was very sweet. You know, he liked my sister and Jeff, who was my best friend at the time. is now my sister's husband and father of her.
Everyone's moving in on your sisters.
Yeah, Jenny was quite the floozy, always flirting with my friends when she come over in her tight little lingerie that she wore around the house when she was 300 pounds. It was actually just like Hulk jeans that it had torn.
Wow.
Just kidding. Anyway, yeah, no, Eli always did have a crush on Jen. So, anyway, he's been
saved.
I
have a crush on Jen, too. I think I would leave my husband for her.
Yeah, Jenny's very charming. She's very beautiful. I know that Rob Saul does not agree with Jenny's looks. I saw that they got in a fight earlier in Twitter war week.
Wow, yeah.
I heard that. I would love Rob to call in and defend himself as I defend the honor of my sister. I would appreciate that. But anyway...
Aw, that's so sweet. That was a sweet side right there.
Well, actually, I'm just jealous that he had better insults to Jenny than I did.
They weren't. They were very childish.
Yeah. Well, Rob has some problems. I think that's all fair to say. So, Rob, please call in. Brody as well, since this is a free format show, we are going to have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is, you know, the Cult of Jake is an interesting collection of people, for those of you who don't follow. You can find it on our Twitter feed. They're the craziest effing people that sort of are attracted to this show and myself, and they usually start fights with each other for the most part. I mean, Christine was one that fought with Brody. She's not even on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, she's back.
Oh, she is?
She's already back. Yeah, you can't stay away long. It's like a family.
It's basically like Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm Jack Nicholson's character, and like Brody's like, I don't know, he's the Danny DeVito. Hit me. So we had a good Twitter war. So Rob or Brody, please call in. I want to talk about it. We do have a caller already, Jen, that wants to bitch at you for calling him a kiss ass. So I'm going to assume this is Eric Spencer.
Yeah.
Eric, is this you?
Yeah, this is me.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, we've never actually talked. We are brothers in arms. We fight the good fight every day against these collection of badgers and psychotic females that compound us with BS every day.
They just don't understand. That's why.
You know, let me let you bitch
Jen. We don't
Jen,
understand
and then we'll just
gibberish.
No, I think we make perfect sense. But go ahead. What did you want to yell at Jen for, Eric?
Yeah, Jen, I'm mad at you because you keep on calling me a kiss ass. And just because
you keep
I
kissing
think that
ass.
That's just because I think everything Jake does is great.
Yeah, I think that's just a sign that you're intelligent. I mean, that's how I would do that.
Please bend me over Jake is what he's trying to say right there.
Well, see, this is the thing you ladies do all the time. Whenever two guys, you know, that are simpatico and kindred, you know, because men, you know, we like to argue with facts and logic and reason. So there's really only one way to go. So naturally we're going to agree because we don't get lost in fake emotions or BS or trying to protect some innocent kid who was violently coned in a school. Like, we stick to the facts, so we're naturally probably going to agree 95% of the time anyway, because we don't argue a side,
yeah.
We argue the side of the truth. So your quick thing is always to make homosexual jokes, but the truth is we're just taking the side of the truth. So naturally we're going
to... And women will fight with emotions. They get over-emotional.
Yeah, it's...
I don't care.
And it's weird that it's got the word ovary when you say over-emotional.
Weird that you got the word dick when you say dick.
I never thought about overly emotional. That makes so much sense. But Jen, you do understand, you know, we did do a show one time, one of our best shows, where you and I talked about marriage and you gave the woman's side and I gave the men's side, and I think we helped a lot of people. But we never got to the core issue here, which is, let me just ask you, why can't you guys, and by you guys I mean women, Why can't you use reality in an argument? I mean, what's the problem with like the truth and reality? Is it intimidating or what is it?
We use reality all the time. It's just I understand it's a little more difficult for men to understand our big words.
Like what? My feelings are hurt or what's the big word?
Just when we have communication, you guys don't understand what we're talking about because you don't understand our language very well. English language.
Oh, okay. So you're going to argue that you're actually using English properly and us men don't understand it. Not that we use the language properly and you use emotions, which is crazy language. You're not going to
understand. We use reality. We use a lot more words than you do. I know, and it's sometimes that's difficult. But, you know, we don't speak caveman. Like, I write, you write, we all write.
I find it interesting that you think it's sort of caveman mentality to point out when something's factual. Why is that considered caveman?
What's factual? You think everything you say is factual?
I think every fact that I cite is factual. I don't think when it's my opinion.
Wow, winning.
This is something you don't understand. When I'm having an opinion, then I will say, "Hey, this is my opinion." When I'm stating a fact, I'll say, "This is a fact." So that's again using English properly. So yeah, when I'm stating facts, I will defend them as such. You know, one of my favorite things.
Back to YouTube butt fucking.
I just want to say
she just wants someone to grab her by the hair and drag her to a cave.
I think that's
yeah.
cool. That's
what.
Oh! we're all teaming up on Jen. I feel a little bit bad. Her husband is super manly, and I'm sure he does that when the episode of Glee is over. All right.
Hey,
enough
he teared
on
up
Jen.
Today talking about our little baby. That was like a first. So that was
what baby?
In my belly. The one that Eli wants to have a menage a trois with.
Yeah, that's so creepy. Is that what it is?
For the record.
I know. He didn't say that. Eli's family and friends, he did not say that.
He just wants a pot belly, right?
Yeah, I'm just into fat chicks.
Why are you into fat chicks? What is it about fat chicks?
Because I'm just like some of them, when you know they look pregnant, even though they're not, when you walk up to them and ask them if they are, and they get insulted. So that's probably why she thought of me wanting to have intercourse with her, because she assumed just because she was that I thought she was pregnant. It's not the case. It's because I think she's overweight. But now that I know that she's pregnant, I'm uncomfortable talking about this.
Is part of your attraction to heavier
Rob
women?
Rob, like he said, he did it with his wife till the last day. I don't know. There's something about another bean in there. I said it's like a threesome.
Yeah. I would
like
not.
Like a threesome.
Vomit.
Yeah.
It moves. I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm all, baby. Oh, the baby's kicking. Oh, baby, the baby's kicking.
Oh, this is so creepy. I can't handle this conversation. Baby kick. I saw it in my sister's belly. She lifted her shirt one time. She's like, look, it's kicking. And I always thought that was just something, you know, they say. I didn't know you could actually see what looks like a foot sort of pushing on the skin. Like it's an alien. When the aliens are born out of the egg and they're pushing, that's what it looked like. And I could see, like, this little foot moving inside her belly. And, like, almost the outline of... That is so annoying. Who's ever doing that? Please stop that. The outline of toes, and it's like, ew, I could never. Once, if my wife ever gets pregnant, I don't think I could do it once I saw that. I think that would be the end. How did you do that, Eric?
Not Eric. It was Rob.
Oh.
Eric probably did, too.
Yeah, you got to do it doggy style.
Oh, my gosh.
God, so cool.
Hit the bass drum or belly while you're at it.
Oh, all right, I got to change.
Anyway,
this,
new subject. I don't like that one either.
Disgusting.
Yeah, but no, that was not me. That was not me.
I am a little curious.
Rob.
I'm sorry to go back. I'm just a little curious, Eli, if there's some psychological thing where you think a heavier woman is someone that either is more appreciative of you and therefore you don't have to perform sexually as well, or if you feel like sort of in a dominant position, if that's part of the attraction.
I actually am physically attracted to them. I also like to envision them once they lose the weight, how they look.
Oh, so you kind of view it like a stock. A
project.
Like, you know, you buy low
yeah.
and you sell high, kind of.
Yes. They're less intimidating to approach because
right.
they don't get approached.
Right.
And
fat.
And then, like, you know, once they're happy with someone like me, then they want to lose weight and their self-esteem would definitely increase, and then they would look beautiful because deep down inside there's a beautiful woman there. Sometimes you could see, based off of if it's an obese woman, you could sort of like visualize the outlining of her real body amongst
right.
you know, within all the layers of fat.
It's possible, but I remember Star Jones going, man, that's a beautiful woman if she lost weight. And then she lost a bunch of weight, and I was like, that looks like Al Roker melted.
But she didn't do it. She didn't do it the natural way.
Yeah,
did she
true.
Get one of those surgeries? I don't find that. I feel like that's just sort of cheating.
Okay.
I'd rather. It's much easier to lose the weight by actually working out, eating properly, and being happy with male attention.
And then they'd be so grateful that you loved them when they were thin and when they were fat, and now they're thin, they'll never leave.
Exactly.
Okay. So yeah, you have problems. You have major problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving
like
on.
Like the girl with the dragon tattoo. He just wants a little
yeah.
slave.
Well, you know, I say we get right into, you know, the elephant in the room here. That was a good time killer for 15 minutes, but We do have to cover some news, because that's what we try and do on the show. Earlier in this week, I got in another Twitter war. One was with, actually, Jen this time was completely irrational and insane about it, so I do want to talk about it. But there's the story in Florida, I know everyone knows where I'm going now, where a kid was coned with a dog cone. And before I go any further, I just want to give the number out one more time, because I'm expecting some calls on this. Hopefully Kathy calls. The number's 323-417-6705. This was a pretty bad war for a couple days. But essentially, this kid wore a dog cone. And, you know, those cones they put on dogs if they, you know, they get fixed so they don't lick their wounds and they have to wear those lampshade cones. Anyway, kid was misbehaving somehow, I don't know the full story, but a teacher put a dog collar, cone, I'm sorry, a dog cone on him. He was, gave her permission, it was funny to him, it was a joke in the class, nobody had a problem with it. The picture was posted by another student, other than the kid that was coned, on Facebook. It went to somebody else's Facebook, long story short. Some overreacting mother, who I deal with those psychopaths, you know, every hour upon hour on Twitter, saw the picture, got completely incensed about it, and is trying to get this teacher fired. Now, from the last thing I understand, I don't think the teacher has been fired yet, right, Jen?
No, the superintendent, they are trying to get her fired right now. I think it was some sort of school policy and ethics code. Was it just one parent complaining, or that's what I wasn't sure of?
I thought it was one parent, but I think it's become like, I don't want to say it's a national story, but it's certainly to the point now where a lot of parents are feeling outraged. And I can tell you, just in my experience and my limited little scope on Twitter, you know, I already dealt with a bunch of psychopaths that were telling me how demeaning it was. You were one of them. I remember asking if you were typing with your vagina at one point, because it was this sort of incense about this kid being degraded and tortured almost. And you know, I find that absolutely absurd, especially because I knew at the time that he gave the teacher permission, and it was kind of a funny thing within the classroom. I even told a story on Twitter about a teacher I had who would throw erasers at us, and lo and behold, the crazies went crazy. Of course, I was
accused. I feel like the adults are smarter, you know, like more, you know, they're almost making a fool of someone without them knowing. That was part of my problem with it. They're actually, you know, the kids think it's fun and funny, but, you know, they're kind of being made into fools.
So you find it degrading?
I do. I find it, I mean, it's not physical abuse, you know, so that's a different level. But I think it crosses some sort of physical boundary, which is why it would bother me more than sticking a kid in a corner, which is shameful as well. I don't want anyone to touch my fucking kid. It's a bottom line, so.
Even in the case where, what's that, Eli?
I think what happened here, you know, all it really takes is one parent to overreact, because everyone's so freaking scared of being sued.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, it sounds like, you know, kids in the classroom, there seemed to be a situation where people thought it was funny, everyone was laughing. The kid, if he wasn't in special ed, and maybe he was aware of what was taking place, and he sounds smart enough to know exactly what was taking place, probably wanted to laugh. They put a collar around him. He probably pretended to be a dog. Someone took a picture and put it on social media. Next thing you know, it's a story. So I honestly think, from the sounds of it, there was no physical abuse. The kid decided to allow the teacher to put this on him. He could have said no. The only question I have for you, Jake, is how old or what grade this child was in.
It was middle school, and he's roughly anywhere between 13 and 15, from what I understand. I think I read somewhere he was 14, but it was not like, you know, six-year-old autistic kid or anything like that.
Okay. So it sounds to me that that's all it
was. Like Jake.
Yeah. Well, even then, I mean, everyone knows from the Stuart Chaffetz calls, like, you know, I almost am starting to feel, I used to be more sensitive to kids, but now I'm starting to change and become more sensitive to teachers, because even in a situation like this where the kids weren't even offended, some crazy psycho, you know, overreactive mother, I'm assuming it's a mother, that's me being sexist, I don't care, I admit it. I highly doubt a dad saw the cone thing and freaked out. It's going to be someone like...
It said parents, just to be clear. It didn't say
okay,
mother.
Well then, you know what, I won't be a sexist prick. There's one time I won't be a sexist prick. These overreactive parents in Florida, Everything happens in Florida. Why is Florida so fucking crazy? That's what I want to know. But anyway, some overreactive parents saw this, and they started talking about degrading and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, there's another story in the news this week, similar, where this girl wasn't doing her homework, and she kept going to the teacher and giving excuses about not turning in her homework. So the teacher made this award called a catastrophe award, and she gave it to her, and she made a whole plaque, and it said, "You win the catastrophe award for most excuses for the reasons of not doing homework," and gave it to the girl. Well, the girl brought this home. The teacher, her mother saw it. This was actually a mother. Saw it and thought it was, you know, juvenile and berating and torturous of her kid, just like the cone thing. Totally freaked out about the teacher humiliating her child. And, you know, it's just, these things sort of pop up every day. And I remember when we had Stuart Chavitz on, the kid with the dad with the autistic kid who he wired and had the teacher call the kid a bastard. I had said to him at one point, I said, you know, we got to redefine this word bullying and all this kind of stuff. And he said, and Jen, the idiot, my co-host, agreed, that bullying was anything that made you feel bad. And I made this statement to him. I said, well, what happens when I turn in my homework, let's say I'm in school, and I get every question wrong, and the teacher takes a big red marker out and draws these red gashes, and that hurts my feelings. Is that bullying? And he said yes. Jen agreed.
I didn't say yes, just
yes,
so
you did.
Know.
Don't lie.
I'll have to play it back, asshole. I really don't think I did.
That's what you did.
I just didn't stick up for you.
Right. Well, you tried to change the definition, but here's the thing. Check this out. Jen, I know it seems like I'm bouncing around here, but there's a point to this story. I talked to Jen, Eli, 2 days ago. You know, Jen used to be a teacher. Guess what
she
told me?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And?
Guess what Jen told me about red ink in schools, some schools. Go ahead, Jen.
What?
Tell Eli.
Well, in the credential program, they said psychologically it's not good for kids to use red ink and to pick different colors to use when grading papers.
Wow.
So
and
don't
we don't use
allow
grading.
Red ink, Eli.
Or letter
huh?
grades.
Or letter
no red
grades.
Ink and no letter grades for third grade and under. And that's just district-wide in a lot of districts out here in California. But the red ink was just something they recommend psychologically to not use red ink because it affects kids' psyche.
So here, once again, I make a joke and it ends up being fact. That's what happens a lot. And, you know, this is the heart of the story. The Koenig thing or whatnot, the Twitter war, it seems different. But the heart of the story is that there seems to be this overprotection of children. Again, I'm not going to go into bullying because we've done bullying a million times. I'm not talking about bullying. I'm talking about using this case with the Koenig or the girl that got the homework award and everyone's trying to fire the teachers, is that now it's the point is like where they're saying it's wrong to give them red markings on papers and letter grades. Like they're saying that if you give them a D or an F, a failing grade, that will hurt their feelings. So now they're taking away letter grades. Instead of saying we shouldn't allow the kids to fail, they should work harder and not fail, we're saying we don't want to hurt their feelings when they fail. And this is you know, the root of so many issues that I have. And when I found out they don't give letter grades, I even thought about Michael Fishman, who coaches Little League. He told me and his Little League team that he coaches, they don't keep scores because they don't want a losing team.
They don't keep scores for our kids either, yeah.
Yeah,
don't
because
do
they
out.
Don't want teams to
they
feel
They don't
like
even do
losing.
Outs until halfway through the season.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's absurd.
I don't like that. I played softball, and we were girls, and you started out getting out, so it was okay. I just don't like yellers. Just don't yell at my kid.
But again, this is the issue. So this is, you know, I know it seems like we're bouncing around, but here's the issue, and I see Kathy's on the line. When we're talking about coning or not giving letter grades or any of this stuff, is the essential point here that I'm trying to make and the issue I have, just to clarify, is that it seems more important to many parents that the feelings are protected to a child as opposed to preparing them for the real world. This is a fight I have all the time because for me, I think if you fail a class, getting an F on your record encourages you not to fail the next time because you have to take the class over. There's a reason there is letter grades and fail grades. So if you sit there and say, yes, you failed, you didn't do enough, but we don't want you to feel bad about it, what you're doing is you're not only saying it's okay to fail, you're telling them they don't even have to feel uncomfortable about it. And that's the thing I can't wrap my head around at all because it crosses schools, it crosses Little League, whatever. It's this thing, even just little parenting things I see with kids nowadays where
So what does this have to do with coning?
Well, here's the thing. it's kids' feelings are more important than preparing them for the real world. And I think that's just so disastrous. That's the point I'm trying to make. So we're going to go right to Kathy because I see Crazy Kathy's on the line. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, I'm so excited.
Oh, wow, he is.
I am.
Hi,
I'm
Kathy.
So excited.
Hi, Jen.
So I know I bounced around a little bit, so we'll stay on the coning because that's something I know you're very upset about, Kathy. But just remember, I'm not talking about the ethics behind coning. I'm talking about protecting kids' feelings at a point where I think it's disastrous for their well-being, okay?
Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
I agree with you on some of it.
Okay, good. Bye, thanks.
The grading and all of that stuff. They changed report cards here for the younger kids, so they don't get A, B, C, D because they don't want them to see that anymore.
Right.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4. And a 3 can be like an A, B, or C. Well, I don't want to know if my kids
are
A, B, or C.
They must think kids are dumb to not know. They,
I want to know exactly what my son is. I'm over-the-top competitive to begin with. And with school and everything else, like my son, he had a project, and I was like, don't touch it. Like, he's gonna ruin it. It has to be perfect. However, if somebody put a cone on his head, heads would roll. That, first of all, it had to be planned out, because why did she have a cone in her room?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It was something I think she had done before, and that's why the classroom was okay and gave permission. It was something I'm sure she had told him, you know, many times, if you act up, you're going to get the cone. She had it there, and that's why they were all kind of laughing. That's at least what I assume.
And when you're 13 or 14, you're going to laugh like it's no big deal, even if it is a big deal, because you don't want to act like that in front of the class.
So
he probably went home and then was upset about it.
So you're suggesting the teacher get fired?
Yes. If
so
I put a cone on some kid's head in a classroom, I hope I get fired.
Well, if you present it like that, but what if the situation was described as sort of playful activity that ended up this way? Someone took a random picture, had a cone around his or her head, posted on Facebook. I mean, yeah, we're left to assume that child has a cone on his head. How humiliating, but what were the events that led up to it?
Well, I can't think in any playful manner it's going to be funny to put a dog cone on a child's head in a classroom. I don't see where that would ever be funny. She should know better.
And she asked if it was okay, which is where, you know, Jake, you know, sees the lightness of it. But, like you said, as a 14-year-old, I mean, they're just going to fuck around but be made a fool of. What if she told him to put on a dress and he's a boy, you know, and then he gets ridiculed for that too?
There have to be fine lines because teachers are just people. If you put 20 people in a room, a few of them are going
to
be crazy.
Yeah,
and
listen to the show.
And they might be teachers.
Of course. I mean, nobody's perfect. Teachers are human. Students are human. But I guess my issue is, it's just like the Zimmerman case or anything. I always find you should find the facts reported. You should find out what the sides are saying. And then you take that as gospel because none of us were in that classroom. So you assuming, you know, that the kid is pretending like it didn't bother him, but it really did, that has as much bearing in reality as me saying he's okay with it. The difference is when I state that, I'm repeating what the kid said. I'm repeating the story from the teacher and the other students. I cannot tell you what anyone thinks or what's going on in anybody's head. I wouldn't even project that on somebody. And in my opinion, that's what you're doing, Kathy. You're sitting here saying, I understand how he felt, and he was humiliated, he did this and that, and he was pretending, but you don't know that. He might have
I didn't say it as a fact. I said he could have.
Right.
He could have laughed because he's 13 or 14. You don't want to act like anything bothers you, especially if you're a boy.
Right.
Until you get home, and then you go, Mom, my teacher put a cone on my head.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Jake, you don't have children, but you will be in school. You will be in school saying, why did you talk to my daughter like that? Why did you say that? You will be. Mark my words.
You know, I definitely want to talk about that. I just want to finish before we go off on a tangent, because I can go off on that for hours. Again, the story is that the kid had no problem. The teacher asked permission. So, again, just remember this. If it was the kind of thing where the teacher's out there to humiliate the guy, and make him feel dirty and special and naughty or whatever, would she have even asked for permission? That's the first thing. And that's a, you know, that's a reported fact. She asked for permission. The kid gave permission. Even if you can talk about him hiding his feelings or whatnot happened later home, the bottom line is she didn't come over from behind and, you know, put a dog collar around him and chain him to the thing and, you know, throw peanuts at him. She said, walked over, said, "You're getting the cone. I warned you about the cone. Can I put this on you?" He said, "Yes," and put it on, and he was laughing. So again, as long as he continues to say, "I had no problem with it," you have to go off that. If he comes out and says, "You know what, I was pretending like it didn't bother me, I feel really humiliated, I don't like this teacher," then, you know, I'd probably be okay with her getting fired, at least, because this is something the kid's not comfortable with. He's too young to defend himself in class. Like you said, he's probably just trying to brush it off. But he never said that. You know, every report is that he had no problem with it and continues to have no problem with it. It wasn't until some parent saw it on Facebook that it became an issue.
I have a problem that she asked to put a cone on him.
Would you prefer she just beat him over the
head
and put it on?
I prefer she didn't bring a cone to school to put on a child.
I mean, you know, again, look, I don't think it's necessarily the greatest teaching tool to dog cone a kid. I'm not here saying, oh, you know, let's get all the teachers dog cones. I just don't really have a problem with it. I don't think it's a great teaching tool. I could probably make the argument about whether or not it works, but I told a story to you earlier in the week, Kathy, where I said that I had this teacher that threw chalk board erasers at us. And it was fun. It really was fun. And I'm 33. I'll be 34 at the end of this month. And I can tell you, I'm not a 13-year-old boy trying to protect anyone's feelings or trying to look cool. I mean, that was a long time ago. I'm telling you now as an adult who has a little brother and I'm around kids all the time, that it really did not bother me. And I got pelted in the shoulder one time with this big chalkboard eraser. I had this big square chalk line. And it became sort of this badge of courage. And when you'd walk out of class, everybody would say, "Oh, you were in Ms. Shelton's class. You talked out of turn." And the school had no problem with it. And it was disciplinary, but it was funny. I mean, when she would grab the chalk or the eraser and throw it at you, you know, you knew to be quiet. You didn't talk after that. But there was no sort of humiliation or embarrassment. It was just sort of this teaching tool. And again, as an adult, I can tell you, I would love that. If I went back to school and taught, I would probably throw chalkboard erasers and dog collar kids. If they're cool with it, I think it's great. If the kid's having fun, I don't have a problem with it.
But the problem with that, Jake, is you thought it was funny, but maybe the kid next to you didn't.
But then that's up to that kid to speak up.
I have three kids. They're not all the same.
Right.
So probably I have two that would have thought it was funny and one that would not.
Okay.
And he shouldn't have to have erasers thrown at him.
Well, let me just.
But Jake should. I agree with his teacher.
Well, you know, Kathy's always talking about strangling me and slapping me.
She can't wait to shock you.
I know, Kathy, if I was tied up with a dog collar about to be electrocuted, Kathy would bust the door down to be first in line to do it.
I would.
You would?
I would.
See?
I wish she lived out here.
I'm glad she doesn't, because that's terrifying. But again, I mean, this other story, this kid with the catastrophe homework, do you have a problem with that? The teacher making an award and framing it?
I think it was in poor taste. I don't think that was a humongous, you know, should she have done it? Probably not. I'm sure she thought it was funny. And honestly, the parents getting upset about it, well, probably they should have known that the kid wasn't doing homework.
Well, see, that's the funniest part of that article I wanted to get to, was that the mom was outraged by it and said she had no idea her kid was having a problem with homework, and that was one of her things. That's for the teacher to get fired. But it turns out the girl was in an after-school program to help her since she was struggling with her homework, and the mom didn't even know.
Well, that's sad in itself. That
exactly.
Whole thing is sad. I don't think the award. I think the teacher was trying to be funny. I've had my son's teacher give out awards that so everybody gets something, but that it's like funny stuff, you know. So I wouldn't take offense to that one.
So what? For me, I don't see a distinction between the award that says catastrophe on it with a frame and like a gold star for lying about homework to the dog collar. I don't know what the difference is.
If she put a duct tape the kid or something, I'd have a problem. It's almost like a physical assault.
Yeah, so that's the part that bothered me. It's slightly physical, even though he's not being hurt. It's you're touching there. You're in their zone. Like I don't know. There's something about it physically that bothers me more than a dunce cap, which is what Christine's asking about on there.
No, so, dunce cap's actually a great point, because we all remember the dunce caps in the corner. I don't know if they did that for everybody, but I had that when I was very young. It was before it became outdated, but you would have to sit in the corner with a dunce cap on. Everybody knows that cartoon. How is that different than the coning? No one seems to have a problem with that.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I would have a problem if my kid wore a dunce hat, And listen, my,
but more the concept of dunce cap, like not actually
yeah,
putting on a cap because they don't,
right,
but putting them in a corner, you know, without actually wearing something, doing something. The shame part of it, I think I am okay with a little bit. If they really are fucking off in school, I want someone to put them in their place, but not to have to wear something to do it. We're not in old times where you wear the scarlet letter. Michelle brought up scarlet letter. You know, we don't need to label them literally.
So the problem is not, but how does the award that says catastrophe not a scarlet letter?
I don't think that one bothers me.
No, yeah,
no,
that's what I'm asking. Why
so
does that? Why does that not bother you guys? What's the
it
difference?
Was in poor taste. She shouldn't have done it.
If she had to wear it around her neck, the student. See, that's
then,
where I
yeah,
think it's a little
or,
different.
Yes, exactly.
So it's really because it's on the physical body?
Something about it. Yeah, there's, it's like a tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, the, it's something that people see and they associate with you. So I don't know if
I'm,
I'd want
I'm going to give you an example because my middle child is annoying as hell. I now refer to him as Jake Jr. He is you, and he's annoying. So
good. So he'll be awesome when he grows up. That's a sure sign.
He is grown up. But I'm going to give you an example of something he did.
Okay.
And then something a teacher did to him that upset me. He's annoying, and I got calls from school saying he won't shut up, and I said, if you can figure out how to shut him up, let me know, because I'd love to shut him up. I'm not a, like, oh, not my baby. He is annoying. But there was he went to high school, and there was a very, very heavy teacher. And they had a fire drill, and they had to go outside. So he comes home, and he tells me, oh, Miss Ellis was leaning on the car because she's so heavy, she couldn't stand there. And I told her, hey, Miss Ellis, why don't you get off my car? You're going to dent my car.
Oh, she was leaning on your car.
It wasn't his car.
Oh, okay.
He said it was his car to her. So she got off the car and she gave him a dirty look. And I said, Danny, why would you do that to her? Embarrass her like that. She's not going to dent your car. He goes, oh, it wasn't even my car. I just told her it was. Like, he's just a jerk. He's a total jerk.
Sounds awesome.
So,
well, you
he
did good with,
school,
he sounds like a fine, fine man.
No, he's not. When he was in school, he was being a jerk like he always is,
right,
and a teacher kicked his desk, mm-hmm, and it bruised the side of his rib.
Mm-hmm.
I had a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with them saying, hey, your kid's an idiot, he's a jerk, you know, he's always has something to say. I don't have a problem with that. Call him out on it. But when it's physical, I have a problem with it.
Okay, well, see, just, I know where you're going. That makes a lot more sense to me because, you know, kicking and causing a bruise is a, that I could see the argument for that being a physical response by a teacher, and I don't think it's right for adults to use physical means on a kid unless, of course, you know, they're defending themselves or they have to restrain them, you know, like Stuart Chaffetz's kid where they're throwing chairs at a teacher for a year and a half. I'm okay with that because you can't just sit there and let somebody throw stuff at your head. But if you're the kid's talking out of turn and your response is to kick their desk, that I can see makes perfect sense. I would be completely on your side. I don't see how kicking the desk and causing a bruise is the same as walking over with a dog collar and saying, may I put this on you? It seems to me like a completely different thing. Maybe I'm the crazy one. I'm okay with being the crazy one. I need that explained to me specifically where how those are connected. Is it literally just because the cone is touching the kid's neck?
Because it's humiliating and because it is a physical assault of some sort. It would be like saying to Danny, because, you know, you're always moving around in this classroom, can I duct tape you? He probably would have said yes.
Yeah. And he would have stopped
fool.
Moving, too. So
because
that,
he's
I mean,
a fool. So, but I wouldn't be okay with it.
You wouldn't?
No. You can't duct tape him.
I think it's a good
I
idea.
I thought of doing things like that.
My little brother's really, like, hyperactive, and I think about it all the time, just tying his ankles together so he can't run around. But it works. I mean, the kid's not going to be running around.
Well,
isn't he 16?
Who's 16, Buck?
Your brother.
Yeah.
And you're
well, I just grab him by the neck.
Ankles?
I just pin him to the couch until he stops. Like scruffing a cat.
Well, I asked my husband, who's a police officer, and it is not. He thought I was talking about parents doing it at first, and he said it would be okay. So it's not a physical assault, technically. It's
no.
Just there's something about invading their physical space.
And there's a difference between what a parent does and what a teacher does. What we
right.
can say
yeah,
to our
we
kids,
can humiliate
we
our
teachers.
Teachers all we want.
Yeah. We don't want the teachers. It's not their job.
Well, okay. So this is something I've always wondered. Again, maybe I'm confused. As everyone always points out, I don't have children, so therefore I cannot talk about being a child, even though I was one for 18 years.
You're still one.
Yeah, exactly. That's arguable if it even ended at 18. Good point. But isn't a teacher, when your kid goes to school, isn't the teacher then, you know, the adult? Isn't the teacher then acting as a parent? Isn't the teacher at that point, for lack of a better term, the power of attorney over your child when you hand them over to school?
No, they're not a parent.
They're what?
A caregiver. Like, they're in their care, but they're not allowed to spank my child. And
of course. Again, spanking, if the teacher spanked this kid, I would be interested.
Well, they don't become parent then, and I can parent. I can spank my kids if I wanted to.
Right.
They're not a parent to your child. We don't get to pick them.
No, of course, and I'm not saying
sometimes your kids get a crazy, crazy teacher. So... No, they're not. I had a teacher, I remember, in fifth grade who wanted the girls to sit on his lap. I sure as hell don't want to count him as somebody's parent.
Right.
My teachers.
For the record, that is something wrong.
Well, thank you.
Was his name Mr. Divine?
No.
Mr. Divine?
No, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's okay for a teacher to sexually molest the kids or kick them in the, and bruise them. Again, I'm just saying, this particular instance with the coning or the award, they seem really benign, for lack of a better term, to me, especially once you factor in that the teacher asked for permission, the kids were all in line. They knew, like you said it best, Kathy, the cone was obviously there before. It's not, she doesn't walk around with a cone, and it wasn't like a crime of passion where she's like, oh, let me just pull this dog collar out of my bag. This was something, it's only reasonable to assume the students knew about the collar, just as I knew about the eraser. So when, you lay out to a kid and you say, look, you react this way, you act this way, or this is the consequence, that is something you agree a teacher should do to a child, right? Teach them cause and effect, right and wrong. I mean, they have that ability at school, yes?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
So in this case...
It's just how they do it. The methods are a little more restricted than it is for parents.
Well, let me ask you this. I think I already know the answer. Kathy, if Ms. Sheldon, the teacher that threw the eraser at me, was a teacher to your one of your kids and did that, you'd want her fired, yes?
Probably not fired, but she would be in trouble.
But you want the dog collar lady fired. You think the dog collar is worse than throwing something
at your kid. Even her, because I don't know everything about it, I can't say I want her fired. But
okay.
I sure do want her in trouble, because she should have enough sense to know that that is stupid. If nothing else, she should know how stupid that is as a teacher, not to do that.
You know, the weird thing is, and if I did have a kid and they were in a class and they came home and they said, I've got this teacher, because of course I would talk to my kids. A lot of parents don't. I'd say, what's your school like? What's your teacher like? And they say, oh, that's great. I have this one teacher that has a dog collar. And she tells us if we act up after a certain amount of warnings, she's going to put the dog collar on us, with our permission, of course, and we have to wear the dog collar for 15 minutes for the rest of class. What do you think, Dad? Honestly, no joke, I don't have kids, so you can take it for however you want. I would not have a problem with that. Now, if they said, I have this teacher that 1 week brings a dog collar, the next week she brings, a cattle prod, she's wearing nipple clamps in class or something weird, I'd be like, okay, we need to move it. But if they gave them clear warning and said, this is my method, you react this way, you behave this way, or this is the effect of the cause, that to me is the essential part of teaching. Even if you disagree with the execution of the method, at the end of the day, that is what I learned in school from my teachers. The good teachers taught me cause and effect. Whether it's behavior, you're going to get suspended, or, you're going to get a mark, or you're not going to get a star, or you're going to get a dog collar. I mean, to me,
yeah, but what happened to just not going to recess and writing 1,000 standards? Like, that sucks.
It does, but see, I guess, maybe it's because I do martial arts or something, but to me, it's just details. It's like you've got to pay attention to the intent behind something and the lesson behind something. To me, that's much more important than the actual... execution of it. Again, I'm not talking about sitting on the creepy guy's lap or to be clear, but today in class, I had martial arts class, and we do this thing at the end of class where we kick each other in the legs and we trade off, and it hurts so bad. I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the thigh, but it's horribly painful. And we've all been in the class long enough that we know it's coming. And we were doing it back and forth. Long story short, one of the guys in my class looked at me and he goes, why do you enjoy this? This is so brutal. And I go, well, why do you think we do this? I was curious. Why do you think we kick each other at the end of class? And he goes, I think it's just macho bullshit. You guys are just being macho. And I said to him, you know, this is martial arts class. He's been in there 15 years. I go, you seriously think we're sitting here kicking each other to prove our manhood to each other? And he said, yes. Why else would you kick? So we talked for a few more minutes. And this is a guy that does Aikido where, you know, you grab people by the wrist and bend their wrist. He does that. No problem doing that. He'll do that to you all day, tear your ligaments up. Mm-hmm. So we said, I asked him the same question I asked you, Kathy. Why is the grabbing the wrist different than the kick? How is it different? It's still a sensation. It's still something somebody's doing to you. It still causes pain. Why is it different? And he thought for a second, and he finally looked at us, and he goes, I guess it isn't. And we said, yeah, that's you're learning, because it's not. It's just a physical manifestation. It's a lesson. The lesson here is to not take pain personal. When somebody causes pain, hold on a second.
You're in karate where you expect
I know it's apples and oranges a little bit, but here's the point. He was putting a projection of two different things that were pretty much the same. One he viewed as terribly offensive and violent. The other one he thought was peaceful, even though you could argue that they were interchangeable. And it was his projection of the actual lesson that made it uncomfortable for him. I had a whole different subjective response to it. I thought, I want to be kicked in the legs now. I want to feel the pain now so that if anything ever, God forbid, happened in a bar or I'm defending my wife or my kid, I won't freak out. You know, there's an old saying, crying the dojo, laugh on the battlefield. So long story short, I'm doing it as a lesson to toughen me up, much like how I talk about these kids. And it hit me before you called that this is how I think you're viewing this coning situation. You don't have a problem with the award saying catastrophe for lying about homework, but you have a problem with the cone, and you compare the cone more to a kid being kicked and bruised.
I have a problem with the award. It was stupid. She shouldn't have done it.
But you find, which is worse to you?
The cone's worse.
Okay, and I don't see a difference. I mean, they're both arguably stupid.
So you think they're both okay?
No, hold on, not that they're both okay. I just think they're the same level of teaching tool, which is you're shaming a kid with humiliation. You're marking them and humiliating them. One is they're wearing a dog collar. The other one is an award saying, hey, basically I'm an idiot. I don't see the difference. But you clearly...
Well, one was saying you're not doing your homework and you should be doing your homework.
No, it was an award for most lies and excuses for not doing homework.
Oh. Mike probably would have liked that.
Yeah. But I know I always get caught for rambling. There's brilliance in what I just said, which is it's you got to be careful when it's you're projecting onto it. You know, and again, if the teacher asked for permission and the kid had no problem, really isn't that bad, despite how you feel and your emotional reaction.
Yeah, it is that bad, yes. Because you can ask a 13-year-old to do anything, and they're such idiots at that age. They would probably say, okay, they're so stupid.
All right. Well, I mean.
Yeah, you have Fallon that wants to.
I know. I want to get to Fallon.
Right, let her on.
Yeah.
Kathy, I love you. I got to deal with the angry lesbians now.
Thank you, Kathy.
Kind of
bye.
Bye.
And now from the angry lesbian crowd is Fallon. Are you there?
I'm here.
I am so
I'm not
excited
that angry,
you called.
Though.
Hold on. Before we go, I've been trying to get you to fucking call in this show for 6 months now.
I know.
What happened?
I like to make them wait. That's part of the whole
It was Jen, wasn't it? It was that I have a female co-host and you felt safe to call, yes?
Yes, I needed, you know, the camaraderie. Plus, I just like girls, so.
Well, so does Jen, but she won't admit it on the air. So anyway, she's a closeted lesbian.
I'm a married closet lesbian.
What do you have for me, Fallon?
Fine.
What do you got for me?
Well, I was actually just going to piggyback. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the humiliation is the real issue. I don't think it's the, you know, the coning, the award, anything like that. There's something that's humiliating, and nobody wants their kid to be humiliated. The problem is humiliation a real method to teach something? Do you learn when you get humiliated?
You know, I love you. You can be my new co-host now. Jen, you're done. Seriously. No, seriously, Jen, go.
Okay, bye.
That's...
Kids ball game to go to anyway.
That is the question that I was going to go. We have 10 minutes left. This is perfect. I would say yes. Yes, I said it a couple weeks ago. We don't shame or humiliate our kids enough anymore. Everything is so about we want them to feel strong, and there's this movement called the self-esteem movement, which goes back to the 80s, everyone knows about it, which totally fucking failed. And it was like this, if we constantly tell our kids they're special and good, they'll have a better sense of themselves and they'll never struggle. Well, the data's in, they struggle. Their suicides are up. Kids are fucking basically retarded by the time they're 18 or 19. They have not been shamed or prepared for the real world. These 18-year-olds with this bloated sense of self-entitlement and self-esteem go out on the workforce, and then they meet the real world, which is not where your boss is going to be blowing smoke up your ass. He's not going to tell you you're doing a good job when you're not. He'll fire you. And these kids, that's been going on the last 15, 20 years into adults, myself included, are having trouble adjusting. So I had said this, Fallon, tell me if you agree with me or not, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that I think shaming and humiliation is a powerful teaching tool. Now, again, because I know you're a woman, so you're going to react inappropriately, I'm not saying it's the only, I'm not saying it should be like 50% humiliation, 50%. It's just a small tool to be used from time to time, but it is not something that I think is that terrible. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, I think it's hard to apply such a blanket statement because there are different levels and types of humiliation. I think some do work. You know, I mean, I remember when I had to be, when I was in school, and our big humiliation method was write something horrible on the board 500 times or whatever.
Right.
That worked. Whatever I did that made me do that, I never did it again. You know, and in that sense, it's a great teaching mechanism. But if, like this coning thing, I would say that's a failed technique because if I'm a kid and you ask me and I'm cool with it and it's all joke that we're in, then I'm not humiliated by it and therefore it doesn't work.
That's a great point, which is why I don't, you know, it's hard for, again, none of us were in the classroom.
Right.
It's when I said it is a humiliation method, I'm honestly not even sure if that's what it was. That's just what I'm drawing from it. That's my opinion from it. It might have been an entirely different thing, but I do know that the people that have a problem with it view it as humiliation.
I agree. I think they see it as humiliating. But, you know, so I think it's kind of two different situations. So if parents see something, I think parents are more sensitive to their kids being humiliated than the kids are.
Yes.
It's the parents that were upset by this, definitely, in this case. That's what they said. It wasn't the kids. It was the parents that were upset.
And again, is that justified? Is that right? Because if a kid, it's the kid in school, it's the kid being shaped, it's the kid.
Well, I think I'd want to teach my kid, don't let people do that to you. So maybe, you know, like, and don't misbehave. Like, it's hard to give them both messages, you know, without saying, oh, you're allowed to fuck off and not have to have consequences. But I do want to tell them, don't let people put a cone on you and listen to your teacher, you little shit, you know? So it's hard.
Well, by that extension, what would be wrong with telling a kid, you know, if a teacher tries to humiliate you, if she warns you that she's going to cone you, don't do the thing she told you not to do. What is wrong with that?
Why couldn't the teacher check their disciplinary methods against the parents? So, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a cone on your kid. Are you cool?
Yeah, because
no?
She knew.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Because she knows that's not going to work because parents are crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? When my parents were cool with the whole writing on the board thing, the throwing the erasers, you know, parents knew kind of what was going to go on and what the dunce cap, the corner. You know what's going on. Now I think there's an element of surprise there that parents also don't like.
Well, a lot
you
of it is
the cone on my kid?
The parents nowadays, Fallon, were, you know, children of baby boomers. They weren't,
right.
You know, when we talk, well, I don't know how old you are, but
I'm
there's still a semblance. Yeah, so, I mean, we were children of baby boomers, but at least our parents still had some semblance of, you know, they weren't against giving kids an F if they failed. They were a little bit more in reality. I mean, but they've bred kids that they bullshitted about self-esteem, and they told them, you're perfect, and those kids grew up and had kids. And by extension, they're even doubly crazy, where they're saying, you're perfect, everything you do is perfect. And now we can't even have a teacher correct you in any way, shape, or form, because she's challenging the fact that you're perfect.
Well, for the people who thought the cone was a humiliating way to discipline a child, what would they recommend? What would you say was okay for a teacher to do when your kid, who you know, is acting crazy?
I mean, that's such a great question.
Detention.
I guarantee you.
I mean, kids hate detention. I mean, it's at that age, it's all about social life and getting out of school. So detention is such a great consequence for that age, and I learned from it. I was such a little rebel, but when I got consequences, I learned from it, and I didn't need to be put in a corner or wear a dog collar.
Well, maybe it
would
have helped you from being put in the mental hospital.
Hey, my mom.
Did you ever wonder, when you were put in the mental hospital, did you think maybe I should have been?
It wasn't a mental hospital. It was a rehabilitation center.
Oh, okay. Call it what you want to call it. Then we all know what it was. So
yeah,
clearly.
No, I didn't learn from world consequences because my mom didn't discipline me, but I was good in situations like school. I did learn in school situations, but no, I did whatever I want outside of school.
Yeah, like telling a retarded girl she was adopted.
Whatever.
But again, that's beside the point. I just want to ask one more question of Fallon, since it's rare I get a caller who's intelligent. or talk
wow.
to anyone intelligent at all. I just want to say this is, the last
she's been way nicer than she promised she'd be, by the way. But
I knew Fallon was going to be nice, and she has a sense.
It was the topic. I couldn't help it. I actually couldn't agree.
And,
we're
going to
make it lesbians. We'll make it lesbians next week.
Exactly.
Ooh,
we will.
Okay.
And Fallon, even though you prefer the ladies, you have to admit my voice is powerful and sexy, yes?
No.
I tried. Well, then you are an actual lesbian. Anyway, let me just ask you this one question, because I only got 4 minutes left, and I wanted to get to here. I get told this a lot, Fallon, when I argue for kids from people. They always say, and Kathy did it again today, you don't have kids. Therefore, you can't really comment on being a parent. And here's the question I want to ask you before we go. I don't know if you have kids or not. But again, you're smart, so that's why I'm asking. I made the argument to nobody yet, to myself, that when you do have kids, you actually lose objectivity on parenting, because now you have, you know, the well-being of a child, and you feel emotionally connected. Like you said, nobody wants to see their kid humiliated. I understand that. But you're not really objective, per se, about your kid and the way to discipline them, because you're thinking emotionally. Like, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to make them feel bad. You're the parent. You have to see them the next day. You don't want them to hate you, whatever you put on yourself. Where someone who doesn't have kids, like myself, can look and go, no, kids need discipline. They need consequences. They need to be told yes and no, because I don't have that emotional attachment to a kid. I don't feel worried about hurting a kid's feelings or having it grow up to be an alcoholic that hates me. I'm making an objective observation about parenting. I was a kid as well. And I think, and this is going to piss a lot of the mothers off, I think I actually, maybe not better, but I have a different perspective on parenting, and I don't think it should be shot down because I don't have kids. I think, if anything, it should be respected as an alternative, you know.
That was the worst insult when I was teaching, just to be a little bit on your side. You know, it was like if I was giving them suggestions on what to do with their child at home, they'd say, well, you just wait till you have kids. It's one of my worst insults I would hate, because I was thinking, it does seem logical what to do, but what you don't have and what you won't understand till you have kids is the passion behind it. You know, that weird connection that if anyone ever fucks with your kid, you're going to pull their eyeballs out. I didn't feel that way about my students, you know.
But I do feel that way about kids in general. I really do feel that way about children. It's because, I said this before,
I did too, very
excuse me.
Protective.
It's because I love kids and I protect kids, and honestly, I want kids to be fucking prepared for the real world, that I come across as harsh as I do. I don't have a problem with telling a kid, you know what, that was not good enough. That wasn't what you did there. You don't get a gold star because you pooped. You know, hit the toilet. That's when you get the gold star. Get it in the toilet and flush. And this is the thing. I know that this kid is going to grow up. I'm going to die. And it's going to be in its 20s and 30s and starting its own family. And it's going to need to be prepared for the real world. And I think it's so disastrous that so many parents now care more about hurting the kids' feelings or protecting from being humiliated, that they're not being reasonable with what happens when these kids enter the adult world. Because you know what? The adult world, the real world, it does humiliate you at times. It doesn't care your feeling. That's just the world. So it's because I care and I'm passionate about kids that I want them prepared. I think when somebody argues with me that they don't care about kids as much as I do. What do you think about that?
But you're still an asshole.
Fallon, are you still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
There's 15 seconds left, so I 15
seconds left.
We don't know how to extend the show.
I don't know how to extend the show, and frankly, I need to go cuddle with my kitties right now. It's getting late in the day.
No, I understand completely. I mean, and sure, I do agree with you there that there is no difference between whether you have kids or not. You know, I think we still kind of know right or wrong, you know, and we need to be able to do that. And then parents do bring this the attachment sense to it, to the situation, and sometimes they do. They're a lot more lenient. I also know lately parents are way more lenient to kids than they were when we were children, and you know, I mean, I'm sure there's tons of reasons for that, but it is wrong. Yeah.
Well, we are done. Will you call next week, Helen, so we can continue?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
This is awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. I don't know how to extend. We're cut off already right now. The only people who can hear me are the people on the phone right now. So, anyway, Fallon, that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
sure.
Awesome. Thanks. Call in again. Actually, when I have my baby, maybe you can be
take Jen's spot anytime. And I know that you find my voice sexy. I can hear it, so don't stop denying it.
Just imagining your Gloria Stefan right now, so that's working for me.
That's every man's dream. He's gonna try to turn you, Fallon.
I will. I've turned women into lesbians. But
oh,
never the other way around.
Awesome.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Once this shirt comes off, every woman's got a choice from that moment forth. Anyway, so it was awesome. Thank you. I wish I knew how to extend this fucking show.
I know. Eli said he's going to talk to, in the nicest words possible, to your friends to figure it out.
And they should be here to tell me. They're just fucking ditching socks. But anyway.
I have one of their cell phones, maybe I'll...
No, I got a picture from Jeffrey yesterday of some guy Mike was blowing, and I got some naked dude with a giant cock on my phone, so they definitely...
Well, I'm glad he doesn't send me that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. He said, look how donkey sick Mike is. And then I had to look up donkey sick, what that meant. It's like coyote ugly, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, I thought it was good. What do you think, Jen? Good? Want me to call you?
Good. Yeah.
You want a break?
You can call.
All right, I'll call you. Fallon, thank you so much.
Sure,
good
thank
show.
You.
Please call again.
See you later, Fallon.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.